Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by 127games.com, home of the cheapest Access and Allies miniatures. Find them at 127games.com.
Welcome to Wargaming Recon. I am your host, Jonathan J. Reinhardt. Wargaming Recon is the only member of the Troll in the Corner podcast network to discuss historical and New England gaming. This is episode 107, Turn Your Girl into a Gamer. I am delighted to say that this, our second episode of 2014, is focused on a topic that many people have talked about in that they've wanted to learn how to do this. Is there some magic formula, some secret to making this happen? Because I don't know if you people are aware of this, but by and large, gamers tend to be men. I know it's shocking, but just hang on, because it's important to grow our hobby, and part of that involves getting the significant others in our lives, whether it's your wife, your girlfriend, female friends, whoever. You should be reaching out and trying to get them to get into it, because even if they're not going to be someone who will game all the time, it helps them to understand why you love what you love. So for this episode, I am delighted to announce that we have guest who was with us previously, multiple times in fact, who's going to be coming on and talking about some of his experiences with his wife and experiences at his local game store to help get people who maybe are non-gamers into the hobby and get them into gamership. So I am just absolutely happy beyond belief to welcome the one and only Mr. Aaron Boston. Aaron is a person who we've had, what's it been, 3 or 4 times that you've been on the show so far?
If you count the times when I was interviewing you, yes.
I was very pleasantly surprised, Aaron, because that episode when you took over the duties of host and you interviewed me was one of the most popular episodes for 2013. I think it came in like number 3 or number 4. Just people loved it so much. So I knew that besides the fact that I love having you on, that everyone else loves having you on, so I had to get you back on here.
Well, that was a lot of fun. I did enjoy interviewing you, Jonathan, and turning the tables on you a bit there.
You are just, you're a great guest to have on because you're very easygoing and you're also very knowledgeable about a variety of topics. You and I have spoken just off air about all the different ways that you've been involved with your friendly local game store and also ways that you've tried to get your wife into gaming. So why don't you tell us a little about that?
Well, yeah, you make it almost sound like I have some kind of special knowledge, and I'm willing to share that with anyone for 3 easy installed payments of 1995.
But you don't.
I think it just comes down to experience, and making a lot of mistakes and learning from those mistakes. I've had a couple girlfriends in my lifetime. None of them were gamers. Not until very recently, I'd say probably the last 2 to 3 years, have I really started to kind of focus on some practices that really seem to work with, teaching games to new gamers or even non-gamers. And I guess we should establish what we're talking about here. For some of us, that do a lot of gaming, a lot of different gaming, and I realize I definitely fall in that camp because about 2 months ago, a comic and gaming store opened up in the town where I live, which means I don't need to drive an hour, to get to a gaming store. And this gaming store kind of does the, selection of games that is basically everything that's not sold at Target or Walmart. They have, you know, of course, the Settlers of Catan and the Ticket to Ride games, but then they also have, Shadows Over Camelot, the Battlestar Galactica, Chaos of the Old World, Twilight Imperium, Battle Lore, and all the different variations of that game system, and really basically any board game that hasn't been published by Hasbro. And they also feature a lot of the card games, of course, which really seems to be the bread and butter of a lot of gaming stores. And they have some miniatures, not a huge wide range of miniatures, but they have the standard, assortment of Games Workshop and a couple other things. And of course the comics, which seems to help keep the store in business, which I'm really glad to see in my town and really do hope it continues to thrive and grow, especially because it provides a, public, game scene. They have a big space with open tables for gaming and it's great. I probably spend 3 to 4 evenings a week there now, and they have a board gaming day on Saturday, miniatures gaming on Thursdays and Sundays. They even have role-playing games on Mondays. And, of course, the gaming store has been a big part of my, strategic, plan to lure my wife into, gaming. And it's actually worked really well. Last night, Jonathan, we were actually talking about recording this show, and I was just really exhausted from work and it didn't work out. The irony of recording last night would have been that we could open the show by you asking me where my wife was, and I would have explained that she's at the local gaming store playing the Game of Thrones living card game.
I love it.
Because she's obsessed with that game. Almost rage quit over that game about 2 weeks ago. And she's actually on the forums now. She's like printing out proxy cards and, you know, sorting her cards and creating deck lists and everything. So, it's just kind of funny that, you know, I'm working on my Warhammer stuff and she's working on her Game of Thrones, card lists. So it's how we've got to that point, I guess, is kind of what might be good to share. And, I kind of think that the main thing is kind of fostering an approach to teaching games to new gamers or non-gamers. And I know I've done it kind of wrong in the past, and not that there's a wrong or a right way to teach games, but I think there's kind of a soft and a hard way. And sort of setting up a game and briefly going over the rules with someone and then saying, all right, let's play, it's your turn. A lot of people that don't have experience playing games don't really understand the basic concepts of translating the system of rules into how do I make these rules work towards the goal of winning the game. And I think a really good way of making that easier for someone to digest is playing a cooperative game. There's a lot of those on the market right now, a lot of really good games. I should really back up and say, you know, my wife, is familiar with chess. She played some chess before I ever met her. Of course, when I was about 8, 9 years old, I was really interested in chess. I got a hold of my mother's, How to Learn Chess in 90 Minutes. I wish I could remember the author's name, but I remember it was a slim volume that was published in the 70s, soft cover. And I basically taught myself how to play chess. That wasn't really all that exciting or dynamic because I was basically the only person playing, and I was, you know, trying to play moves out of the book and trying to play for basically both sides. I taught my sisters, who were 4 years younger than me, how to play, as soon as I could. And actually by the time they were 11, 12 years old, they were playing chess with me. And to this day, I think my youngest sister is probably more of a hardcore chess player than I am. She certainly beats me more often than I beat her when we do meet and play a game. But, I really bumbled my way through that, as most young gamers do with their first games, without a whole lot of, I don't know, what's the word, Jonathan, when you have somebody who kind of takes you under their wing and guides you into into the greater knowledge of something.
Well, I think the official word is mentor, but I always think of Mr. Miyagi.
Mentor is perfect. That was the word I was looking for. But as an adult gamer, I remember, you know, you get really competitive, you get really good at a certain game system, and of course, I played a lot of role-playing games. as a young adult. And that certainly fosters a sort of cooperative dynamic because everybody's kind of trying to achieve the same goal. And, you know, it's a fun, dramatic story kind of game. And there's not necessarily winners and losers. But then there's games, of course, like Risk. I hate to say some of the other games that are out there. I know I started with Axis and Allies at a very early age. Around 14, 15, I was tired of playing Risk and bought a copy of Axis and Allies, and that was like the greatest thing that ever happened to me at that age. And that's definitely a game where when you sit down and play that game, there's one side that wins and one side that loses because there's some very definite parameters for victory. Axis and Allies is not a game I'm ever going to get my wife to play, however. And that's fine. I think you have to come to terms with the fact that you're trying to get a girlfriend or a wife into gaming. It's important not to jump immediately to your most favorite game and sit them down and say, okay, we're going to learn my most favorite game and I'm going to share this with you and we're going to have a great time and you're going to learn more about who I really am and you're going to love it. And 5 minutes into you just explaining how industrial production points work, their eyes are just going to glaze over and they're going to just say, like, what are the dice for? Why are there so many dice? And, it's not going to go very far. I started with, really becoming enthusiastic about miniature gaming specifically and historical miniature gaming when I was really getting into it about three, four years ago. And I was trying to get my wife into like naval Age of Sail gaming with some Napoleonic, rules, which is really just the most wrong thing I probably ever did to her. She had no interest in that. She had no patience for it. She tried, you know, after about 45 minutes of moving some model ships around on the table, she'd had enough. But then I discovered some cooperative games and we both really had a love of the new Battlestar Galactica series. We're each of us old enough to remember the original. Of course that was a long time ago. And as an aside, we did try to watch that at some point and really seemed to have remembered it differently. But the new series, we really enjoyed watching that together. And I actually ended up picking up the Battlestar Galactica board game after hearing some good reviews about it. And actually sat down, kind of learned it myself, and got her to try playing it. And because of the theme, she was very interested. And one of the things that I learned in the process of teaching her to play was don't try to just dump everything in her lap all at once. Try to work through a step-by-step kind of building block method of saying, okay, the goal of the game is to, you know, in Battlestar Galactica, the goal of the game is for the humans to reach the planet that's going to be the refuge unless one of them's a Cylon, and then the goal is to foil that attempt. But start with the building blocks, meaning first, you know, this is the game board. These are the cards, and there's different colors mean different things. This is how certain mechanics work. And instead of throwing that all out there at once, starting out by saying, okay, here's what this means. Here's your token, and this represents your, you know, placement on the board, the different actions you can take, so on and so forth. And actually, to start a game and play through, especially a cooperative game, you can say, okay, this is why I'm doing this, and here's your options. And these are kind of some of the things we're working forward on and what we're trying to achieve, both short-term and long-term. I feel like I'm kind of getting ahead of myself a little bit, but
I would say probably most of the listeners are probably in a situation similar to mine.
Right.
They have someone who hopefully is supportive of their gaming and their wargaming, but who doesn't really understand it other than it makes the person they love happy. And so they want that person to be happy. And so they want to be supportive of it. But beyond that, they're clueless. I've tried to get my wife involved into some sort of gaming because I figured, oh, if she gets into some gaming, she'll maybe understand it. Maybe she'll like it. It could be something we can do together, some way to have some quality time. And I was like, well, what can I do to try to get her into gaming? In many, many years after we first met, I look back and I think, oh, wow, I made a lot of mistakes. And even after all these years, I haven't come very far. Her go-to game, if she's even going to game, is Mario Kart on the Wii. Or Mario Kart on anything, really. Not that I blame her. I love Mario Kart. I love playing electronic games, whether it's console gaming or computer gaming, all that kind of stuff. Because, I mean, what's not to like? Everything's included in the box. It requires no setup. It requires no takedown. And they're pretty instinctive. More or less, they kind of tell you what to do and how to do it. So it allows you to at least complete the game, probably successfully, and then you can expand upon that and go as deep as you need to be to become as much of an expert at it as you want. For me, I had a bit of a breakthrough back in 2013 as part of the Extra Life 24, in 2013 anyway, is a 25-hour game-a-thon. I was like, oh, well, you know what? I will see if I can get my wife to participate in this. And maybe it's because it was for charity and we were raising money, and or maybe it's just because she was tired of saying no to me all the time whenever I'm like, hey, you want to play a game? But right. She had agreed to play a game, and I was like, okay, hey, you pick what we're going to play. This was at the end of the day. I had some people over. I know I talked about this in another episode, so I'm not going to go into all sorts of detail about what I had done for the event, but the game she picked, and I laid out all these board games. And I have like a pile of ones where I was like, I don't think you're going to be interested in these. You might like these. I think you will like these. Because for me, and this is probably how it is with most things in life, but I think in particular with trying to get your significant other into gaming, I think you really have to play to what their interests are. And I don't want to pigeonhole women in particular into a certain thing. Because I think too often, whenever I've come across something, whether it's been an article or someone else has talked about how to get your girlfriend into gaming, your wife into gaming, they're like, oh, women are creative. They like to do art kind of things. So get them into painting, because they'll paint models. And then from there, you can get them into the next thing. And to me, that may be true. I'm not saying it is, but I think it's a negative stereotype. So I want to stay away from that. And I suppose if your significant other is an artist or someone who's like an art teacher or something, then yeah, try being like, hey, look at these cool models. Don't they look really fancy? I bet you'd like to paint them and see if that works.
Yeah, it definitely didn't work for me. In my case, my wife got her undergraduate degree in fine arts. And when I said, hey, look at these cool model sailing ships, she's like, yeah, whatever.
Well, and see,
that
that's
was definitely
the
not the approach to take.
You just never know. But of all the games from the Gamerthon, the one my wife picked, in some ways I think was really good, and in some ways not so good, because she does not like games that are really tactical or strategy oriented. She has to make enough tough decisions in her regular job, and she doesn't want to have to worry about moving up a unit of troops around here and thinking what the best advantage is for this or that, or like even in a game of Risk, like where's the best spot to put her extra armies that she's recruiting. The game she picked, though, is Pandemic. And I think it's great because, like you said, it has that cooperative play to it. And at the same time, I thought it was a rough choice because it's very strategic and tactical. It's not military in any way, shape, or form. For anyone
You're right.
who is unfamiliar with Pandemic, first of all, shame on you. Seriously, no, not really, but like, find out about Pandemic because it's a great game. It's been repackaged. It's like the 9th edition by now already. But in Pandemic, everyone who plays, and you play together as a team, is a member of a CDC team trying to eradicate disease from the world. And so you play against the game. The game is trying to spread these different colored diseases, viruses, bacteria, whatever, that will wipe out the human race. So you all work together. And in fact, you need everyone to be like, okay, let's see what you have in your hand, and to tell you what to do. So that's great, I think, for someone who's a non-gamer to be playing with someone who is a gamer, so that as long as you're not condescending and as long as you don't take control over it and take over it so that they feel like they're a puppet.
Yes, yes, indeed.
Like if they're making decisions, you can be like, oh, let's see what you have, and this is what I have. Well, I would do this, but do whatever you want because these are our goals. And so I, that's kind of what I tried to do. And it was a moderate success in that she described the game as, quote, interesting, but also frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's because of that whole strategy tactical side. But the plus of it was she said when we were done, she wanted to play more games. She wasn't like, right. I'm done, I'm going to bed. So she, so we played other games and I tried to pick party games. She's someone who might be interested more in party games. Like she loves apples to apples. Her favorite board game, if you can use the term board for a game with a bunch of apples, but her favorite board type family game of all time, apples to apples, which we own. I bought for her once because I was like, you love apples to apples. Maybe we'll play. I don't think we've ever played apples to apples, but it's there should she want to. Now, right. What she picked instead was, I'm going to use the term party game. It's not a party game, but I'm just going to use it to reflect how casual it is. But it's Guillotine by Wizards of the Coast. In it, you play against your other opponents. And the goal is you're set in the French Revolution. You are a revolutionary and you have to kill as many nobles as possible. You have a line of cards. At one end is a physical guillotine that you make out of thin card that they have. You just kind of pop it together. And whatever nobles right at the guillotine at the end of your turn, they get killed and you get them and you earn points equivalent to it. We played that a few times. She really enjoyed that. And then we tried, you know, something that's a party game, but it's a little loose. It doesn't have rules so much that confine you. We didn't play test this at all by Asmati Games. You do whatever the card says, even if it makes no sense, you do it. Not a game that she really loved. And we tried Zombie Dice, which she really likes. Party game, casual. So I kind of learned that she really likes these casual type of games, which kind of games I normally enjoy. But it's odd. She won't be like, I just want to play a game. Whereas I'm like, hey, let's play a game. So there's still that barrier there for her. But once she breaks past that barrier and she's like, okay, let's actually play, there's a small pool. My concern, and maybe the concern of others, is that you're playing the same game over and over and over again. And how do you find other games like them? So I'm hoping some of the listeners have had at least as much success as I have, and I'm really hoping they have had as much success as you have had with your wife, but something tells me that's not true. So, like, what's the first step that you did with your wife?
Well, actually, the first step I did was somehow combat her fear of role-playing games, and I kind of went back to probably my first role-playing experience when I was 9 years old. And I had a slightly older kid say, okay, well, let's imagine you just got shipwrecked on an island and there's some smoke coming from a village in the distance and it's a village of natives. And instead of saying, what do you want to do next? He said, do you want to go into the village and try to talk to them or do you want to like hide in the jungle and spy on them? And I said, well, what happens if I walk into the village? And he says, well, they could decide that you're like a god from another universe and put you on a pedestal, or they could decide that you're an evil demon and cook you for dinner. And that was basically what got me hooked on D&D. And at that point, I didn't even realize I was playing D&D because we didn't sit down and roll up characters. We didn't do any of that. He just said, you're a sailor that just got shipwrecked on an island. It was as simple as that. We had a moment like that where the power went out. We were sitting at home on a Saturday afternoon. It was in the wintertime. It was getting dark, too dark to read. And I kind of just said, well, let's pretend you're a mouse in the woods. You're a mouse in the woods and you're trying to deliver the mail to a town on the other side of the woods. And we ended up playing a session of Mouse Guard. And by the time we were done, she's like, I can't believe you just got me to role play. Even though I'd been trying to get her to play Mouse Guard for, you know, a good 9 months pestering her about it, but she was kind of intimidated by, you know, seeing the character sheet, seeing the numbers, all of the components that make up the game. And once she realized that the components are just there to kind of create the framework of the game, but isn't actually the game in itself, she was able to enjoy it. And Pandemic actually was the big breakthrough game, with her because we sat down And I know you mentioned something about saying to your wife, well, here's what I would do in your situation, but you can do whatever you want. And I think, that's a fair way of kind of suggesting moves to someone. But I think that really turns people that don't have a lot of gaming experience off, because they feel like they're just either they can do what you're going to do or do something stupid, because they don't think that they, as the experienced gamer, you must know the best move, and there must be a best move, and then every other move is inferior. A game like Pandemic can be a little intimidating, because if you kind of don't maximize your moves, your actions, you can lose the game. But at the same point too, I always like to just say, here's a couple options. Not necessarily I would do this, but I just say, well, here you are, for example, in the city of Budapest. There's a disease cube in Istanbul. So you can spend an action to move to Istanbul and then spend another action to remove the cube. Or let's look at your cards. You have a card, you can go to Moscow. So you could discard that card to go to Moscow, and you could try to eradicate or find a cure for the disease in the clinic. And now I can't even think of the term that's actually used, the research center that's in Moscow, because you have three cards in your hand, you could cure the disease. Instead of saying you can do whatever you want, say you, as opposed to this is what I would do, just say, well, here's a good move here, and then here's another good move over here. So that's providing someone like with two, maybe three options. But that way they can see like, okay, so yeah, going to Istanbul to cure some yellow disease cubes will be good, because it keeps, you know, possibly Istanbul from having the card drawn that's going to cause an outbreak. But I can also see the benefit in going to Moscow and trying to cure the blue disease, because, that's how we win the game, is by curing diseases. So I think by just kind of offering, a lot of roles all at once, it can be really intimidating. By taking someone through kind of step by step, especially at the start of the game, and just saying, you know, like in Pandemic, everybody starts in Atlanta. You want to just start with some simple rules, like let's figure out how to do movement. So just start off. Don't worry about trying to win the game. Don't worry about the goals. That's not really important right now. Let's just see how this works. So you're starting in Atlanta. You can basically use an action to move to Los Angeles, and that's an action. And you might just want to go to Los Angeles to do some surfing. That's totally up to you. Or you could, let's look at the cards you have in your hand. Oh, you have a card for Tokyo. Well, you could actually discard this card, and then you could get on a plane and fly all the way to Tokyo. And you could go surfing in the other side of the Pacific Ocean. That way you start off with explaining some basic components of how the game works. Then you can move into, well, like, look, there's a disease cube in Tokyo. Here's how you spend an action to remove it from the board, but you don't have to do that. You could also move on to another city that has maybe more disease cubes, or you could use your special power on your character's card, and try to provide some options without just saying, here's the rules for everything you can do, and pick one thing. I think a lot of inexperienced gamers feel kind of overwhelmed by all the options. They feel like there's a certain way to win the game, and usually there is. And I've heard some players complain about Pandemic because they feel like basically their husbands tell them what moves they should be making, and they just kind of feel like they're puppets, and they're basically just hanging out and enjoying the social aspect of it. So I think a big key to really getting someone excited about gaming is to ease them into the different options they have without overwhelming them, and allow them to feel like whichever choice they make is not a right or wrong choice. And I think role-playing it a little bit always helps. You know, I've played games with my wife where she's like, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm going to go to New York City to buy some new clothes. you know, that's fine. And I'm not going to like put my head in my hands and go, now we're going to lose the game because you're not doing your job at eradicating the diseases. She'll learn that. Because either she's gonna enjoy the game and want to play again. And then the next time she's going to say, you know, let's actually try to win this time. Or now, you know, and that's what happened with Game of Thrones, actually. She really got into Pandemic. Then she said, let's try this Game of Thrones game. And she's gone through a wide cycle with that. I mean, she went through a moment a couple of weeks ago where she was actually ready to rage quit. And I never thought I would have seen my wife, go through something like that with a game. But with the board game, because she was so interested in the card game and she's really getting into that, I thought, well, here's my opportunity to finally get her to sit down and play like a real strategy board game. You know, she's played Pandemic. She's enjoyed that. She's playing the Game of Thrones card game. She enjoys that. She's getting into the competitive nature of that game. Why don't I bring out the big guns? And she just looks at the board and she's like, no, it's just too strategic. It's too many tactical options. I don't know how to play this kind of game. So, I actually learned a really important lesson with trying to teach her that by having a lot of patience with her and not trying to win that game and just saying like, here's kind of the goal of the game. Here's the different things you can do. Starting off, here's, you know, one option or the second option. You can move your ships here and take over this city, or you can move your ships there and move your troops down to the south and take over that city. Don't worry too much about whether one city is better in the long term than the other city. Let's just see how fun it can be to feel like you're actually moving an army and taking over a city.
So what I
mean- and now that's like one of her favorite games. So go ahead.
No, so what I hear you saying is that when you're trying to get someone, whether it's your significant other or just anyone really, to try to get them to become a gamer, that it's really important to learn a little bit about them, about what they like, what they don't like, and what their approach is to things, so that you can then pick the right game for it. And the right game for them isn't necessarily going to be the right game for you. And that when you're participating in that game, you have to remember to be patient. You have to remember to be understanding, and also to note that you're not playing the game with the goal of winning. The goal of your time being spent with this person is to hopefully get them interested into gaming, not to find someone who's going to do what you want them to do when you want them to do. Because if that's your goal, then you just play by yourself. And
right.
I mean, like,
and
some people love
big key. Yeah, and a big key is don't play to win, because a new player of a game doesn't want to feel like you just basically took advantage of their inexperience with the game and beat them. And it's fair to say, like, well, what's the point of playing a game if you're not playing to win? That's true. My goal that I've really tried to stick with is if I beat someone in the very first game they ever try to play, they're not really going to be inclined to play that again. Do I want to just like totally make it seem like I'm letting them win? No, because they're going to find that boring and obvious. But what I don't want to do is say, here's how the game works. Let's play. And then now I'm just going to, you know, take you all over the board and just totally beat you. Because it's frustrating, because they don't understand the range of the rules. They don't understand all the different options, and they don't really understand the different means to victory. So I think really it's important not to play to win with a new gamer, and especially with your wife or your girlfriend. She's not playing the game, because she wants to interact with the competitive side of you. I'm sure she's seen it with your other guy friends. She doesn't necessarily, I think, want to share that kind of moment with you. She's probably willing to do it because she wants to find out why this takes up so much time and thought, in your life and share some quality time with you. And it's never, I think a lot of women can be competitive. I'm not going to pretend that's not the case, but I think when the competitive part is the first thing, in the game, it really kind of puts them on a point where they say, I'd rather really be doing something else. You can be competitive with your guy friends and, you know, basically go out in the yard and play football. So I would say try to play fairly. Try to play openly. Try to explain why you're doing what you're doing. Explain how you do things, why you're doing them. And then also offer options rather than suggestions. Say, instead of saying, this is what I would do in your position, say, this is something you could do. And by doing that, you could hope to achieve this objective, or you could try doing this other thing, which might achieve the same objective from a different direction or something completely different. You know, giving two or three options is always good, because then she can say, okay, I like this option better than the other one. And that way she actually learns the game by playing it rather than just having a wall of text or a wall of sound of all these different roles and trying to digest them, especially, as a non-gamer. And I think, with my wife, she's learned really well by playing. She plays a lot now, and at this point, she actually still prefers her own kind of game. She's more of a card gamer, not really so much of the strategy gamer. Although I'm very pleased that she's excited about playing the Game of Thrones board game with me, and she's good at that. She's beat me a couple times, but really, one of the main things is, in my opinion, find games that she likes to play, games that you can play together. But don't always expect that she's going to like all the same games that you like and want to play those with you. That's not a bad thing, though, because, for example, there's at least one night out of the week where my wife is at the game store playing her favorite game and I'm playing my favorite game. And although we're not playing the same game, we're hanging out in the same space. And I think one of the triumphs that I felt was when we each spent a day at the game store. And of course the game store is nice in town. It's not just a, you know, back hallway with a lot of tables and smelly gamers. It's actually a nice store. And they've got snacks and drinks and, everything else that you would want in a warm and everything else. It's a really nice place to play. The staff is very friendly and knowledgeable and helpful. But at the end of, you know, our separate gaming time, we left at the same time. We went out to dinner. And then, as we're waiting for dinner to be served, you know, I ask her, I'm like, tell me about the games you played. And she told me, she's like, well, first we did this, and then I did this in this game, and we did, you know, this happened. And suddenly we were having a conversation that I've had with so many of my gaming friends in the past that was kind of thrilling, because we were talking about something on the same level, and sharing it. And it was just really incredible, because it wasn't, just kind of her talking about her day at work and me talking about my day at work. And then both of us kind of just being like, it was really exciting, because I felt like I was learning more about her, learning more about the game she was playing. And then she asked me about my game, and I told her what happened and some of the high points. She had some questions, and I tried to answer them. The great thing for me was, she doesn't really understand miniature gaming so much, but I was actually able to use concepts from the Game of Thrones card game to explain concepts in Warhammer Fantasy by saying, well, you know, it was kind of like I did a military challenge against his Reavers, and when I beat him, then he was forced to remove casualties, that kind of thing. So that was kind of one of the high points of my experience here. And that was, you know, only about 3 weeks ago. So I have to say, I'm probably a little giddy at this point at feeling like I've made some kind of breakthrough. I think I still have to digest, some of the process, but I think if nothing else, if there's any kind of secret at all, I think it's just being patient and trying to offer options as opposed to suggestions, and just trying to have fun and not trying to feel like you have to get your significant other to play a certain kind of game, experiment. Try some games that you haven't tried, and you both might find something new that you both enjoy playing together. And if worse comes to worse, you both end up in the game store playing different games, but then you have dinner together afterwards and talk about what a great time each of you had. And I don't think many other things in life beats that.
I think you touched on a really important thing that maybe you intended to, maybe you didn't, I'm not really sure, but I think it's the importance of the right setting. So, your wife likes to play games, which is great, and she likes to go to the game store, but I bet if the game store was more of, how to put this polite, more of a typical, or stereotypical rather, game store, she may not. I have, in the past, brought my wife to game stores that I love, and I'm not gonna name what they are, but game stores that I love, and the people there, gamers rather, not the people who work there or the people who own it, but other gamers are like, wait, there's a girl, why is a girl here? And acting like it's some Martian who came down because, oh wow, and that scares people off. And of course, it scared my wife off, and at the time she wasn't my wife, but she's like, I don't think I want to go back there, and she won't even go in. It's nice, and it's all done up, it's beautiful, it's clean, it's gorgeous and everything, but because of that experience, it was the wrong setting for it. And at the time in my head, I was like, oh, the people are friendly and we have a good time and there's all sorts of stuff and there's plenty of space. So that makes it a great location for us to tackle some of the stuff. And when in reality, no, it wasn't a great place because I should have thought, oh, wait, this could happen. So something safer would have been, how about we do something at home, someplace where she's more comfortable? Cause what I guess I try to think of it like, when you find someone who you like and you want to date them, you court them. You take them out to places. You find out things that they like to do. If they're into sports, you go to sporting events. You play sports together. If they're someone who's more introspective, maybe you have quiet nights at home or you watch movies or whatever. You try to win their affection. So you're in this relationship, this dating relationship with them. And it's kind of the same in my mind with gaming. Like, you don't want to, you're trying to woo them into this thing we call gaming, whether it's war gaming or historical gaming or whatever. And you don't want to woo them by bringing them to a noisy place where they're not going to be able to pay attention or have them play a game with people who are just really competitive. You want to make it as much as possible anyway of a friendly and relaxing and inviting environment for them. So if that means sitting on the floor at home and leaning against the couch or whatever, I think it's important to do. So it's worked out great for you because this game store near you is fantastic. It's very inviting and approachable and your wife feels comfortable there. Another place, maybe not. Like if you were like, let's go to the park and sit down and play a thing of a pandemic, maybe she wouldn't be so into all of this. So I think you gotta keep your audience in mind, for what it is. And all too often we're like, we love what we do, and so other people probably would love it too, so let's just go ahead and do this, and just kind of putting ourselves into their place. By no means am I an expert on anything, really, but I've played my fair share of games, and I have experienced some of the difficulties that your wife had experienced, and my wife has experienced, and you have too, where, the first time I ever saw a role-playing game, I was like, wait, we gotta do what before we start playing? I was a kid. And I like the idea because I was like, I like dragons, they're cool, and all this kind of stuff. And then I realized all the stuff that went into it before and completely disinterested. And that's part of the reason why I never roleplayed until college, post-college with D&D and Torg and stuff like that. And even now I'm like, wait, we have to do what? Because rolling up a character and all that stuff, way too much for me. It completely disinterests me. And I played tons and tons of games, all sorts of different types of games. But even now, if I'm playing a new game, and this had happened to me, I was playing a new game, and someone was teaching me how to do it, and what in my mind was a friendly, casual environment to kind of explain how to play the game and teach and so forth, was in actuality more of a attorney type of game where, you gotta do this and that, and it was very, or at least it felt more attorney-minded than what I was expecting. So you really kind of have to, I feel, get your goals clearly stated both in your mind and aloud to your significant other. So like you said, instead of playing a game with the goal to win at all costs, no matter what it is, be like, how about we try something different for a fun evening a chance to connect, let's give this a go and just see what sort of fun and experience we can have instead of, how about I teach you how to play a game? Because that instantly puts that division there between you, where you're the role of the person in charge, and if they don't do what you think they should do, even if you keep it to yourselves, like, we all have little tells, but our significant others know us better than ourselves. So they pick up and they're like, wait, so if he's doing that iTech thing, that means I must be doing something stupid. And then they feel inferior. And then
they're
not going to want to participate. And it all comes together. But I think you've managed very well to get your wife into all of this kind of stuff that she has been into, because, yeah, you've made some mistakes, and Lord knows I have. But you've learned from those, and you've really picked up on what would work for her. And you can tell that you've spent a lot of time to try to think about that. And I think that's important. I think your experience serves as a great piece of advice for everyone else to kind of think, okay, so what happened when Aaron tried to teach his wife to do whatever? And they can then take that and use that for their girlfriends or whoever. So I think it's very important for people to pay attention to this. And I think this will be an episode that many people will find themselves listening to and going back to and saying, wait, so then what did they do? Oh, that worked. Oh, let me try that and see how that happens.
And, you know, we could have a long conversation with all kinds of different games. There's a lot of them out there. I mean, Forbidden Island is a good cooperative game. Rune Age actually has got a really great cooperative scenario. And my wife and I played Rune Age, and that was actually the first card game that we played, and probably paved the way for her getting into the card game she's into now. But there's a lot of great games out there. There's a lot of different approaches. But try different things. Try something new. You know, my goal in the back of my head is to get my wife to go to Historicon this summer with me. If nothing else, I know she'll enjoy seeing all the cool miniatures painted up and everything. It might not happen. And she might not actually play any games. And in fact, she probably won't play any, because historical miniature games are just really not her thing. But what's cool is that, you know, she might find a venue at Historicon she might like the painting classes that they do there, or, you know, they always have a room for board games. You know, she could end up finding somebody and playing a collectible card game with, who knows. But it's cool, because we're actually kind of on the same page, and we enjoy doing the same kind of thing, even if they're not the same game. And I think that's really awesome. And I didn't think that was going to be the case a couple of years ago. So
I think there's a lot of people who probably now are in the position where you were a few years ago. So I'm hoping that the tips and information you shared will be of help to them. And I can tell you, I'm definitely going to reevaluate what I've done and try to learn from my mistakes and try to implement some of the successes that you've had to see if they can work for me too. So I am.
I hope they do. I hope they do work for you.
I hope so too. I've been looking forward to when you were like, oh, I think I want to talk about this for the show. And I was like, oh my God, that's fantastic. And I got so excited about it. I was like, I can't wait for us to talk, because I knew I would also learn something. So I was very eager for our recording of this episode. But
thank you for having me on, Jonathan. I enjoyed this once again. I enjoyed chatting with you. And I know I have a tendency to ramble sometimes, but hopefully I had something to offer there.
Well, I want to thank you for coming on yet again. I think you are our most prevalent guest, and I want to remind all listeners that they can keep up to date with what you're doing by heading over to your blog. It's the Fonzie Wars, and we have a link.
Wait. I haven't updated that blog in months. You know, basically ever since the gaming store opened in town, I haven't been doing much blogging. It's funny, because there was a moment last week where we were in the store, and sometimes I've been at the store where, you know, the owners are big gamers, and they'll stay there long after closing time if there's a good game going on. And I think we were playing the Resistance, actually, Marathon game of Resistance. And we're going to play another one. And one of the guys was like, oh, I really need to go home and paint my Warhammer figures for my game tomorrow. And I was like, dude, gaming is always the priority. Paint miniatures when the stores close.
So if listeners want to keep up to date with all the stuff you're doing, what would the best way be?
Oh, I like I said, I really need to get into the blogging. I think I need to reevaluate the blogging that I'm doing, because like I said, I've just, when it comes to the option between actually gaming with my wife at the gaming store or writing about gaming, the actual gaming always seems to take precedent. But it's maddrb@gmail.com is always a good way to get a hold of me. And if there's any questions or any way I can help out, I am kind of thinking about maybe working on a blog with my wife and kind of talking about gaming with kids and, something along that vein, but, nothing definite yet. So right now, the Fonzie Wars thing is still out there, and I've really been on the verge of blogging about my Warhammer fantasy endeavor, which is a whole nother thing, that we'll have to talk about at some time. I just started playing Warhammer Fantasy about 6 weeks ago because I decided that, the fantasy contingent needed to be represented at my local gaming store because everybody seemed to be getting into 40K and talking about playing 40K, and I didn't want 40K to be the only miniature game played. If Muskets and Tomahawks is not going to be the most popular miniature historical game at that game store, then at least it's going to be something that's not futuristic sci-fi. So that was not that I have anything against futuristic sci-fi war games, but I do like my retro sort of fantasy historical stuff. I'll always take muskets and swords and pikemen over lasers and dropships. So. There you have it.
Well, then what I'll do, from time to time, I'm sure I'll see things that are going on with you, and I will share some of that on our Facebook page, which listeners can find by going to wargamingforums.com/Facebook, or just head to Facebook and look up Wargaming Recon, and we'll have things there from time to time. So I want to thank you again for coming on, Aaron. This has been fantastic. And then I want to let all the listeners know about some stuff that's coming up. Our next episode, which will be episode 108, will release on February 17th. It has something fantastic happening with it. And I know that's a word I've used a lot in this episode, but we have a new thing that we're doing here at Wargaming Recon. We're trying to plan out what some of the future episodes will look like, and if there's guests or just a theme or a title or anything like that. If you head over to wargamingforums.com/episode guide, you'll see what we have planned for each of the episodes from now until the end of 2014. So episode 108 is going to be having a guest, Mr. Jay Libby, who's co-owner of Dilly Green Bean Games. And he's going to talk about do's and don'ts for convention industry guests. And then the episode after that will be extra exciting because it comes out on March 3rd, and it will be the live recording that I am doing at TotalCon 2014, Mansfield, Massachusetts. I, just like last year, I'm going to be official press for it and running an event. I'm hoping that some of you will take the time to play in it. The event is Raid on Pitt's Landing, 1755. It's the Saturday of the con at 1:00. We need at least 2 people to play and up to 6. Using the muskets and tomahawks rules, players control 54mm models in this non-historical scenario set in the French and Indian War, shortly after the French capture Fort Duquesne, which is present-day Pittsburgh. A French and Indian force is attacking the small British settlement of Pitt's Landing with instructions to burn the settlement to the ground and inflict as many casualties as possible. Should be a really fun event. It's something new that we're doing. I have a bunch of guys who are helping me with it who've done fantastic. Huge shout out to Adrian, to Court, and to Adam. They've just been working their butts off for all this kind of stuff. So I'm really looking forward to that, be able to see a bunch of you. And speaking of TotalCon, which is something I find myself doing a lot lately, I have a very special deal and limited time offer for anyone who is going to TotalCon and who is a listener and fan of Wargaming Recon. If you head over to wargamingforums.com/TotalConShirtDeal, you have the full information. But basically, for a very limited time, we're able to get t-shirts made for roughly half off the cost. And what that means is we in the past had only been given t-shirts to guests of the show, and now you can buy a t-shirt at cost. We have all the information on our Facebook page. It roughly is between $8 and $11. If you're interested, please send an email to cwfgamecast@wargamingforums.com or leave a comment on our Facebook page. All I need to know is what size you would want and how many you want of each. And once I get a final idea on all of that, I can give final pricing. But basically, the way it would work, you tell us what you want, we'll get the shirts made, you pay upfront, PayPal's fine, or we can try to work something out, and then I will deliver the shirts to you at the convention. I'm going to be there the whole weekend, and it's just a way to kind of get this going, but I need to know no later than February 3rd. That's the deadline for you to let me know if you're interested in this or not. Just going to say, I don't know when the next time is that we'll be able to do this, so I'm hoping if anyone's interested that you take the opportunity for it. If even one of you want to do this, we're going to do it. If no one wants to, well then, maybe some other time. And then one last thing to mention, I happen to notice that on iTunes, where you can subscribe to us, oddly enough, we don't have any ratings on there. I know there's a lot of you who listen. I know there's quite a few of you who like to subscribe on iTunes. iTunes is perhaps the most popular way for people to connect to podcasts. So if you like what we do here at Wargaming Recon and you want to try to grow the audience and get others like you to be part of the community and give us a shot, please consider leaving us a rating on iTunes. Easiest way to do that is to go to wargamingforums.com/iTunes, and that'll just open up our listing in iTunes and you can leave a rating for us. Whatever you think we should be rated, please be honest. Of course, I would love, if you're like, I love this show, it's 5 stars. But if you're like, it's a 3, hey, give us a 3, you know, whatever it is. So that's my spiel on all this crazy stuff. And of course, if you want the full show notes for this episode, wargamingforums.com/WR107. Once again, Aaron, it is always a pleasure to have you here on the show. And just thank you very much for taking the time out of your very busy schedule.
Well, yeah, thank you for having me, Jonathan. And I have to say that if anyone has a chance to join your Muskets and Tomahawks game, that's one of those games that is really easy to learn, easy to play, even on a one session type of thing. It's a lot of fun. You're using the right size miniatures for that because they're big. It's all about skirmishers in the woods with muskets and tomahawks. It's going to be great. I've been following your progress and the painting that I notice you haven't been doing yourself,
but it's not looking
like there's some good progress being made, and I'm really tempted to just like take off sick from work with the flu that week and come up for it because I was really hoping to be part of that game.
Well, I can promise people that the game and a little bit of the progress leading up to it, because it's been interesting, will be part of what I discuss in the TotalCon 2014 live recording that comes out on March 3rd. So you'll be able to get a little bit of that, and I'm sure it'll pop up from time to time down the road. But right now we're just focused so much all TotalCon all the time. So it's very interesting, and I'm really looking forward to that event because we've never done a non-Black Powder event at a con, and if this goes well, maybe we'll do it at other conventions. You know, we got to see how it happens and everything, but it'll be interesting, and that's it, really. So just thank you again, Aaron. It really, you're one of my favorite people to have on here is what I'm trying to say. So it's always a blast.
I enjoy being on, Jonathan, and I hope you have a great time at TotalCon.
Well, thank you very much. And I just want to thank all of you for taking the time out of your busy schedules to listen to Wargaming Recon. You know the deal. You know what's coming. Until we're back with another episode next time on February 17th, I hope you will be sure that no matter what, you have to, you need to, you gotta keep on gaming.
Are you always on the go? Why not take Wargaming Recon with you? If you use an app like Pocket Casts, you can listen to your favorite episodes of Wargaming Recon and all of the other podcasts that you know and love. Or you can always stream and download the latest episode of Wargaming Recon by heading on over to the show notes for that episode.
Hey there, this is Ben Gerber from Troll in the Corner, and I'd like to invite you to listen to my podcast, Indie Talks. Indie Talks is a discussion about independent publishing, where we take a look at indie games, the people who write them, and the people who play them. We're going to branch a little farther afield as well and talk to some independent television and movie stars and creators, as well as crafters, all of who are related to gaming in some way, shape, or form. So please join me on the Troll in the Corner Network at trollitc.com and give Indie Talks a listen.
This is Andreas, Apprentice of the White Order. I would like to invite you to listen to my letters, a humble collection of my observations of the various beautiful and very, very dangerous creatures that inhabit my world. I hope you enjoy it as part of the Monsters of the Shattered World on Troll in the Corner at trollitc.com.
Wargaming Recon is a proud member of the Troll in the Corner podcast network. Visit www.trollitc.com for more information. This recording is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial ShareAlike 3.0 license. Look for Wargaming Recon online at www.wargamingforums.com. We're also on Twitter, Facebook, and Stitcher Radio. You can learn more about this episode by reading the show notes on our blog. Many thanks to Andrew and Court for inspiring the show's name. Thank you for listening, and keep on gaming.
Stars with some pumps and Rats look a mess, but baby, you better sell, or your daddy gonna raise hell. He gives you money, but honey, your daddy don't give a damn unless you got a Johnny and you go in town.
If you heard it and you do like it, good. If you don't like it, what I'm supposed to do.